Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Before time had a name, there was a garden, a place where heaven and earth walked as one. This is the Echoes of Eden, where we rediscover ancient roots and awaken to our eternal purpose.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to the podcast. This time I am joined again for the first time this season by my lovely wife. In this episode, the topic will be on fathering through failure. Let me just start off with the scripture this week. And it's Romans 8:1. And it says, "So now the case is closed, there remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One." And for me myself, I know what it is to hear the accusing voice of condemnation. And it's that voice, and we'll just hit the ground running right up the top of this, is it's the voice that reminds me of my failures as a dad. And it doesn't do any good. It doesn't do me any good to hear and be reminded of failures. I think obviously we both know failures are a part of life.
Yeah.
Even as parents, we know our kids are going to fail at times. That's just part of living. No one's ever going to get it right 100% of the time. But it's when you're trying to raise 3 children, you know, we got a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and almost a 1-year-old in just a few short months. You know you're going to fail, and you know failure is part of it. And I think back, and you can attest to this, of even having Kaylin. We know we failed some with, well, I know I failed some, probably a lot more with Kaylin than I am with Aiden, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Kaylin had, you know, Kaylin's our first kid, and she did not come, unfortunately, the hospital did not give us any kind of manual to go by with her. So there's things we did with Kaylin that, you know, we learned from and hopefully did better with Trinity, and now hopefully do even better now with Aiden. And you go through this process of, at least as a dad, and I'll let you speak to this some, you go through this process of knowing that you failed. Some of my failures have been much larger than others. And you can't go back and erase those moments.
Yeah.
But you have to learn from it. Silence the the voice of accusation, learn from it, and then you tell me this all the time, you can start today, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Correct it now.
Right.
Speak to that a little bit, because you've walked through my failures with me, alongside me, even. Well, we'll talk about some of this on a later podcast too, but even at times when I pushed you away, you still stuck by me and saw the man I could be.
Yeah. I mean, I think your past failures and everything, of course you don't live there, but I think it's all in perspective. You know, I know that there's times that I have come to you and I bring up something in the past that you would have done, but I also take that and to show you how far you've come.
Yes.
So, you know, remembering some things is not always a bad thing, because you can see how far you've come. But the thing is you can't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, well, this is what I did, this is what happened, and just keep living in that one moment. I mean, nothing's going to come out of it. Nothing's going to grow. You can't better yourself if you're stuck.
And I think it's important too, and I know we've had this conversation before of, and this is for men listening who maybe their wife kind of does the same thing of, you know, previously you wouldn't have responded that way. It would have been different. It's important in those moments to take that and to not hear what you're not saying. Because I would take sometimes when you would say that and criticize myself.
Right.
And beat up myself and thought, well, yeah, that's what I did.
But
that's
not
how I acted.
The place I was coming from.
Yeah.
It was all in your perspective.
I was allowing what you were bringing up to
bring you down.
Become, well, not just bring me down, but to become an identity for me.
Right.
And it's important, you know, you would have to have that conversation that I'm not pointing this out to hurt you. I'm pointing this out, like you said a while ago, to show you how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
Even telling me, you know, of things that you said, the kids have said, you know, has changed.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do in your communication. You know, if we hadn't had that conversation about it and you not come to me and say, well, this is how it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
So the vulnerability on your end to tell me that opened the door for me to say, hey, I didn't think about it that way, because I only knew what I was processing in my mind.
Right.
And what I would tell you from my perspective, not realizing that you didn't catch my perspective. So without,
true.
You know, we had to have that conversation. So communication is important in moving forward. To get through mistakes.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
To grow from them, because I had to stop and say, okay, so this is what he needs for me. I need to explain. This is why I'm saying this. I'm not throwing daggers. I'm casting like flowers, you know, at the end of a performance, like
you're throwing the confetti at
yeah
me.
Like I'm like, yay, this is what I mean it as, like, but if you're in that negative mindset because you're putting yourself down, you're not going to see that from an encouraging standpoint.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to do, is encourage you, not bring you down. But you also have to have that conversation, because if you hadn't come to me and you just thought that I was just putting you down all the time, and, well, she said this, So I'm still no better than I was. Or, well, she said this, or she sent me this video and I could do better. I'm just horrible. Instead of just holding on to that and bottling it all up, you know, eventually it's going to spill over and you're going to be right back to where you started.
Because you're, it's like, I know I've heard Damon Thompson talk about this and some other guys, but behavior follows identity. So if you constantly reinforce the negative side of this is how it used to be, well, eventually that's going to just become a loophole back in. Well, that's who I was, so that's who I'm always going to be, and you're going to create this longevity thing of somebody that you're not.
Right. And so in knowing that, all I have to do is tweak my words so I can explain to you, hey, I saw this. This is what you would have done, but look how far you've come. Mm. Or, hey, I thought of this and you not realizing because you've been focused on your mistakes that I may have sent you something because I was convicted of it and just thought, hey, this was good. It spoke to me.
And I took it the other way.
And you take it the other way because you were dealing with something internally that I didn't know about, so I couldn't throw, you know, the invisible shade at you when I was being convicted myself.
Yourself.
So it's all in communication, and all it is just, you know, being honest and vulnerable with each other, because you can't have a marriage built on something. You can't have a marriage or relationship built on, well, one perspective.
Yes. And I think, too, you know, I have to remember, and maybe someone listening to this is the same way, I know I am my own biggest critic.
Mm-hmm.
I will beat myself up harder than anybody else around me.
Me too.
Including those who don't like me or whatever. That's why people... I kind of laugh sometimes when people say, I don't want you to get upset or something like that. Like, it's hard for me to do that from other people because I know how hard I am on myself, and probably more than likely anything that someone else is going to say, I've already thought at some point anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, you know, it's important to remember that failure, especially as a dad, a husband, it's not the end. It's often the beginning of deeper grace. And you talked about vulnerability, and I think that's even as a dad, you know, there's been times, I know you've had to do it too, but there's been times I've had to go back to our kids and be like, I'm sorry. And whether that's on my own accord or you looking at me at times going, you need to go fix that. And sometimes I'm reluctant. And other times, sometimes I'll jump on it, and sometimes I'm more reluctant, but as soon as you say it, I'm like, yeah, I know. I got to go fix that. I got to go have that conversation and go, I didn't mean it that way. This is kind of what I was trying to say, what I was trying to do. But I think that vulnerability, even with the kids, is important.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially, you know, in the it's probably done more now than it was years ago. For some reason, you know, men are supposed to be strong and, you know, firm hand, and you can't show vulnerability because you're less of a man because of it. But in reality, it teaches your kids, you know, no matter what, I can go to my dad because he's made mistakes. He may know what to do.
Yeah.
Or, you know, dad doesn't always get it right, but he keeps going. He doesn't give up and sit in it. You know, he comes and he apologizes.
And sometimes it'd be easy to just stop and sit in it.
Right. But the legacy that you leave behind, all because you can apologize to your kid when you do something wrong, it just breaks a lot of cycles.
Yeah. It's like mistakes and failures can be teaching moments when you approach them with humility.
Well, yeah, and you know, parenting, whether you're a mom or a dad, there's no right or wrong. I mean, I'm sure there's right or wrong things to teach your kids, but you can't take this whole right or wrong aspect as an overall cap for parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because just as you, what may be right or wrong for Kaylin and how you discipline her is not a one size fits all for Trinity.
No, you cannot treat the two the same.
So, you know, there's, I guess, for lack of better words, there's right and wrong, but there's no
set principle way right. to handle. You can't blanket the response.
Right. And as parents, you know, we're like, well, we're just going to screw up everything. And it's like, but do we have to? If we're honest with them and you apologize for things as you go, you're both learning. They've never been kids before.
So true.
We've never been parents before. We're kind of learning all this together.
Yep. Even with Aiden, it's a whole different. Now you have a little boy who seems to be wanting to grab at anything that he's not supposed to have.
Right.
That's and different.
The other two didn't.
The other two didn't do that. So just because we're in 10 years of parenting experience,
they're each different.
So and now it's almost something. Like you're starting all over now with.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Aiden, and you have to learn from raising Kaylin and Trinity as far as you have, and now tweak it now with Aiden. So you again, it goes back to there's no blanket response.
No, parents are always learning.
Parents are always learning every single day. Sometimes we learn things we don't want to learn.
Well, that's true too.
Sometimes we learn things that we didn't know we needed to know.
No.
Especially when your kids are telling you this thing.
Needed, wanted, it's...
But I think, you know, you think of the idea of fathering through failure and knowing that as parents, because more than just men could listen to this, but this season specifically, I'm trying to target dads and young men. We know failure is a part of life. It's trying to learn how to take those failures and owning the failure, being able to apologize, being able to take grace even deeper. And I guess for me personally, the more grace that I've known, I know I have been shown. And we'll get to some topics later on. But to know the grace that I have been shown, it has caused me to turn around and show more grace as a dad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and you can agree and attest to what, you know, you've lived with me for how many years? 13 years? I feel as if earlier on as a dad, I had a short fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And now, there may still be days when I have a short fuse. I think that's just called life and being human. But I think what I take to heart in my part of the journey now is hearing you tell me things as far as what you've seen me, how do I say that, and how you've seen me be transformed.
Right, how you've grown.
How I've grown. and you're not one to sugarcoat things. Like you're going to lay it out. You wouldn't just tell me that to make me have a feel good day.
No.
And not just you, but for you to tell me conversations that the girls have had. I know even yesterday, I'm not one that I wish I could be more emotional at times and show emotion a little bit more sometimes, but like maybe that part was buried. I don't know. That's a whole prayerful thing for me, but I remember even yesterday in the kitchen, and I think you told me, this before, about you wish the dad that Aiden has at his age, the girls would have had at theirs.
Yeah.
And I just got choked up over that. Because I know that it goes back to this whole failure thing. I know I failed in so many areas. But yet, at the same time, I know I'm bunny hopping everywhere, but I think all this is important. Me knowing I've failed that many times allows me to show grace to other people, including my own kids. Like, did you mess up? Sure. Am I frustrated? Probably. But that doesn't change how I see you as my daughter or my son as he gets older.
Well, one thing that I've noticed too is, you know, a lot of times kids associate their worth by things they do.
Mm-hmm.
So if they spill something or drop something or mess up something or break something, their automatic response is to look at you, and they're trying to think, okay, how are they going to react? Am I going to get yelled at? Am I going to get fussed at? Are they going to, you know, freak out because I did this, or how bad am I in trouble because of it?
And you can see that real good with Trinity.
Yeah. She just kind of panics.
Like there's the other day, all she did, and I'm not afraid to talk about this because it's my past and my struggles that I've had to overcome, but I looked at Trinity, maybe it was Monday morning, but she had come into the kitchen and was getting ice and just dropped ice in the floor, and the look of panic that she had on her face.
Yeah.
I knew I had to change my response. Number one, and maybe before I would have responded a lot differently. And again, my short fuse there. But I'm like, Trinity, it's just ice. Like it'll melt into water. Like it's not going to hurt anything. Just, you know, get it up and let's move on. But I knew that somewhere along the line, I have done something as a dad to cause that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, ooh. This is just hitting me as I'm talking about this. So now that I've started this journey or whatever into allowing Holy Spirit to do the transformation needed, and he's worked on me a lot. Has a lot more to go. But now I look at it and she has my personality wrong. Because she expects me to respond in a way that's not me, but the real me. And is that not the same thing that we do to Papa?
Mm-hmm.
That we've casted this identity onto him, that we expect him to respond to certain situations negatively.
Right. Well, it's just like when Trinity gets upset, you know, she has big feelings.
She does.
And she feels like she has to take it out by hitting.
Yes.
She's a very physical person. And so I remember, you know, having to discipline her for hitting her sister. And I remember sitting her down, and I'm like, we can't, just because, you know, you have big feelings and you don't know what to do with them, we can't hit other people.
Right.
And I was like, when you feel that way, you know, come find mommy, we'll talk about it. Or walk away for a few minutes, you know, don't lash out because you can't control it. But she would start feeling like she was a bad kid. And so I always took the time to reiterate to her, I love you. It doesn't change just because you hit someone and I'm having to teach you not to hit them.
Mm-hmm.
Does not take away my love for you.
Right.
You are still Trinity. You're still love. We just can't hit people.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the look in her eyes is almost like, okay. And so, you know, she's, you know, she just turned 7. So has she been hitting as much? No. Does she still get those moments? Yes. But she's learning to control emotions, you know. But just the look on her face, I don't know that I'll ever forget that look. Because her thinking she was in trouble meant taking your love away.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just always like to reiterate, this does not change how I love you. Like, I love you. That's not even, you know, a question here.
Yeah.
But we can't hit people.
That's a big deal. Obviously, as a parent, you have to discipline. But you never want them to feel like that. Yeah. Like, and I know that I probably, through my actions, have given that message off. Not meaning to, not because I wanted to. It's just where I was. I guess to me it goes back to behavior follows identity. And the more that I'm coming into this space and realizing I can't fix me. And that's for anybody listening, you can't fix you. It's impossible. I've tried it, been there, wore the t-shirts, made the t-shirts. It don't work. You cannot fix yourself. So the more I've leaned in lately and just allowed, and again, going back to, I'm using you and the kids as the reference point that there's been change because, and I've told you this before, and I guess it's just human nature, you don't see the change in yourself as quickly.
Mm.
It typically takes other people to notice. And so for the people closest to you, and this is what, you know, going through some of the stuff we're going through right now in life, it's funny to me because the people closest to me have been the ones that know me the best and can speak to the part of where I've changed.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, this is my podcast, so I can say what I want to. Other people don't see that.
No.
Because they're not around.
A lot of people are quick to throw shade on things that they don't understand and don't care to find out about either.
Very true. And that's just the facts of life. But don't... I would encourage any dad or husband listening to not only can you not do it yourself and lean into the Holy Spirit, but trust the voices of those who are close to you, whether it be a spouse or a child or whoever knows you the best, when they start saying, hey, I'm seeing a change. Because I'll be honest, when you first started saying that, I didn't know how to take it because I couldn't see it yet. I didn't feel like anything was different
Right. I think that's why you took a lot of it negatively.
I feel like nothing has changed, and I'm just now starting to get to the point where I can catch myself. Okay.
Responding differently.
Perfect example is coming into the house, and it used to be that I would get in a tizzy if anything's out of order and not put in its place. And now I'm sitting here looking, there's Bubba's blankets, and I don't know what the else that is over there on the couch, and there's, and I'm not in this anxious mode. The keys are not put up where they're supposed to be on the TV stand. And I know this sounds stupid, but if stuff was not in its rightful place, I would have a chaotic fit. And my wife can attest to this. She's nodding at this present moment. But I'm sitting here now and looking at, okay, I even see Kaylin's headphones sitting there on the TV stand. And I really, there's nothing in me that's like anxious about this. Like, I don't want my house nasty, and I don't think anybody does. But at the same time, like, I have 3 kids, and they live here. Do I want them to learn to pick up after themselves? Like my daughter's tennis shoes that I'm looking at in the floor. She needs to learn to pick those up, yes. But I am not going to come in here guns blazing because everything's not put up. Now, do I still have moments like that? Probably. I guess I do.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's like all the time now.
No.
And I noticed that, maybe it was a nudge from the Holy Spirit the other day when I come home and there was stuff all over the TV stand. And I looked at it, and it's like I just had this little internal nudge that said, did you catch that? And I'm like, did I catch what? I know I get attitude with the Holy Spirit because like she asks questions. And I'm like, catch what? Like, I didn't know I was supposed to be paying attention to anything. And I went back and looked again, and I'm like, holy moly. There's stuff on the TV stand, and I'm not, like, I'll get some of it picked up in a minute, but I'm not, like, okay.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
So I'm just now getting to that point of being able to catch small things in my journey that's like, that doesn't faze me now. Again, not saying I want a nasty house, but at the same time, like, we live here. And like,
well,
and I know you,
anybody with kids knows that you could clean up the house and like 10 minutes later.
And I know you said this before too. You've sent me videos, and you know our thing is sending reels to each other, and you know the whoever can send the most, typically that's you, unless I get on a good run, and then I can send about 20 back to back. But they're only going to be kids living here so long.
You're going to miss it.
And then at some point you're going to miss it. You know, in 10, 15 plus years, the house can be as clean as you want it because there's nobody else here but us.
So what you're saying is you really should take a picture of her shoes underneath Bubba's swing. So that way, like 10 more years from now, you'll be able to relive it.
Huh? I'm sorry. Real moment here. You just confused the crap out of me.
Because when they grow up and leave, she won't be here to leave her shoes around. So in order to remember this moment,
I need to take pictures of that.
Take pictures of that so you can relive it.
It's true, and post pictures later about all that. This is true.
I mean, you could even go back and pull it all out and put it in the exact spot.
I could. I really could.
You know.
But that's just, that's part of all this is trusting the voices around you. So I've had to learn how to trust when you tell me, hey, I've seen a change in you.
Right.
And understanding that, you know, number one, you're not coming at a place of criticism. You're, even when you say, hey, you know, you used to would have responded. And you've even told me before about our relationship, not just with the kids, but there were times you've told me that I would have responded to you differently on some things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to take all this and, number one, learn that you're not criticizing me when you say this stuff. But number two, to trust that what you see is actually the truth of who I'm becoming.
Right.
Even with you telling me conversations, even Kaylin's told you, it's like, I'll never forget this encounter with Trinity. Whatever day I was off, for whatever reason, and being downstairs in her bedroom and us sitting in her floor, and she says, Daddy, why are you in a good mood? You're never in a good mood. Like, it was like a gut punch and a oh moment all in one. Because you realized, number one, your kid has been used to you not being in a good mood. It's to me, I guess it goes back to the same how we portray God, that he's in a bad mood. So I've trained my 7-year-old that Daddy's not in a good mood. But yet something has transpired and happened inside of me that the fruit of my life is teaching her Dad actually is in a good mood. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you think about the testimony that they can testify to, that they've seen God's work in your life.
And that should show them just how good God is, that he changed my daddy.
Yeah.
And you know, I've had the same type of conversation with my dad when we did the first episode here of, you know, me and Dad has had those hard conversations. And he knows and I know that he didn't get everything right. But I guess as being a dad, and now looking back, like I said previously, our kids didn't come with the manual. We've gotten stuff wrong. I told him in our episode that I wholeheartedly believe that he did the best he could with what he knew. And I think it's an important thing to remember as a man, really as a parent in general, is not beating yourself up because you've got stuff wrong. Did you do the best you could? I have to honestly say, even for my own life and knowing there's failure, I feel like I still did the best I could with where I was at. And I know people always ask, you know, what would you do if you can go back and change anything? Would you? And I don't know that I would, because everything that I've gone through, been through, the hell that I've caused, everything else, it has got me to this point.
Well, I think at some point, you know, cycles break somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be willing to break down, you know, the hurt, the pain, all of the excuses and the crutches that people use.
There's a lot of processing that goes into this.
You have to, it's a big process, because you have to be willing to put in the work for it. It's not for the weak by any means, because it's work. But, you know, a lot of times you hear a lot of people say, well, this is how my dad did it. Okay? That's great. Doesn't mean it should still be passed down. Okay? Well, I didn't have a dad, so, you know, I don't have anything to go by. Okay, well, that's great, but you have a Heavenly Father that you can learn about.
Yep. And Holy Spirit will teach you better than anybody else.
And so, you know, at some point, the excuses for putting in the work have to be torn down.
Yeah.
And you have to really realize that, you know, you can break that cycle.
And I think,
well, not you by yourself. I mean, you along with, you know, the Holy Spirit will teach you, but it is, you can break those cycles.
Well, I think it's important to, because of everything that you're saying, to reiterate this. I'm working on trying to make an e-course for men. Really, I'm just speaking back to my younger self, really, and trying to help men who may be in the same predicament I've been in, position I've been in a similar way. But one of the classes would be, you cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a group of people that can take that, you can't do it, stop trying to fix you, and they're like, oh, so there's nothing for me to do.
No.
There was nothing that I could do to fix me except learn how to, and not having learned completely, I'm learning every day how to yield more to the Holy Spirit and allow her to lead the direction of my life. That doesn't mean there's nothing for you to do. Because just like you said, there's a process that has to be gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important for you to know that you can't do it. The only thing I could ever do, and it's the only answer I can tell anybody else, is to learn how to yield. Because I tried to fix me. I couldn't have wanted more to be the man that I'm becoming now. I couldn't have wanted that more badly. But just because I wanted it, it was not, me wanting it was not bringing forth change. Me trying to do it and discipline myself to do it was not bringing the change. It was when I was like, you know what? I can't do this. Throwing my hands up and learning to surrender.
Right.
And by surrendering and allowing Holy Spirit to do whatever needs to be done and just leaning into that process. And there's been times it hurt. There's been times it felt overwhelming. There's been times when, you know, maybe during the process you made a mistake or failed and it just feels like it just hit the ceiling and all hell broke loose because I'm just going backwards. I'm just going to go back to the same old thing, same old, same old, same old. But then after calming down and understanding, no, you're becoming that new creation. Maybe you didn't have the best example. You know, for my life, I grew up in a split home. But I don't talk, I mean, I do and I don't talk a lot about it, but you know, even with churches, I grew up in a non-denominational church and a Baptist church. Church of God, I mean, all of the above. I grew up in it. A lot of split things going on there. A lot of learning how to keep the peace. A lot of learning how to keep people happy. A lot of learning how to, and I think this is why I struggle with myself today, a lot of learning how to shut down my emotions. And not realizing that's what you're doing as a kid. To now when you're 35 and struggle to display your emotions. But all of this, learning how, and I don't know how to tell people, I don't know how the right words are to do this, but just learning simply to yield to the Lordship of the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit do whatever needs to be done. It kind of reminds me of the movie The Shack when they take Mac to the garden.
Mm.
And he has to pull out
that part.
A lot, the poison.
Yeah.
The poisonous part. They were all there with him. The Trinity was there with Mac in the moment, but Mac had to be the one to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then give it. And that's the same thing I feel like he does to you. And I can only speak to my story. the same thing I felt like he's had to do through me, is to take me to those spots and allow me to dig down and pull that up. And learning that I can't hold that, I have to let it go.
Those are the deep ones.
The very deep ones.
Those surface level roots, you know.
Don't mean a whole lot.
No, those are easy to kind of pick up, pluck out. But when you get to the root of it, the deep one.
And it reminds me, and I'll just share some personal stuff because I think this is what helps people. And it's my testimony, so... but I can remember years ago, that before we got married, and hearing the prophecy that Janet German actually spoke over, still have it typed up downstairs. And she said something. She said, there are some things I have to uproot and tear down. Well, I was used to, just like we try to have our kids do, pull weeds. I'm used to the kind of weeds that we have around the house. You just pull them up. You know, sometimes it may be harder for them depending on what it is, but most of them you get out pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember going with Mom to Lisa and Danny's house to get, it wasn't monkey grass, I don't think. It was some kind of plant I had to go get.
You had to dig it up by the
root. And I had to get a shovel and work hard to get that plant up. And while we're doing that, I feel the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, now do you understand? And I'm in that point of understand what? And it brought back the memory of things I have to uproot.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Holy Spirit began to speak and said, you thought I was talking about these little bitty plants. And this is what I'm talking about. Of things that I need to uproot out of your life and tear down. Stuff that you have to go deep down in the soil to get.
When you think about it, that surface level, like that plant, the root is so deep that it destroys a lot of the ground around it.
Yeah. That's good.
So it's not always easy, and a lot of times it causes a lot of shaking in your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get it out, then you can start filling in that hole with good soil. You've got the, you know, you start filling in that hole.
Yeah. There's some other places I could go, but I want to save that for a later podcast.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Let me add this to this one because it spoke volumes to me, and if you get mad at me for sharing it, so be it. But I can remember when you came back home from spending the day at your dad, and you told me to never, I don't forget how you put it, maybe you can remind me, but never take for granted what it means to tell my kids that you're proud of them, basically.
Yeah.
Because your dad told you that day, and at 35 years old, that still speaks volume. So I would say to dads listening, to even just a mom listening, never take for granted the power of your words, even to adult children. Because
mm-hmm.
It still does something when a parent says, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And it's something I'm still trying to learn how to be better at with our kids, is taking the time to slow down and just tell them, I'm proud of you. And I love when I think it's Trinity mostly that does it. When I say I'm proud of you, for what? Just because you're my daughter, like that should be enough. Like, you don't have to do anything for me to be proud of you.
Right.
I'm proud of you because of who you are. Trying to think how to close this. We've been going at least 45 minutes. The thing that's important to remember that kids learn how to handle mistakes by watching their fathers. I think you alluded to that earlier about they saw how I was vulnerable in a moment. Mm-hmm. And so that teaches them how they can do that too. Because if dad can come to me to apologize, then I can go to him with my issues.
Yeah.
And I think grace at home mirrors the heart of Papa.
Well, they can't show grace if they never receive it.
Yeah. And there's a couple of verses that just stand out. One, you know, for though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. And I feel like I have been that one to fall 7 times. And I'm not saying it's been easy to get up every time. But I feel like I can sit here tonight and say I have gotten back up every single time.
Yeah.
As hard as it may have been, as long as sometimes it may have took, I would wipe myself off and get back up. And I think that speaks volume to your kids when they see your dad, when they see their dad get back up. Let me look at some of my notes and see if there's anything else that I want to. Let me ask you this question, see what your answer would be. I'll mention this one first. In what ways can admitting fault strengthen your relationship with your kids? I think we addressed that. I think it goes back to what you said a while ago. If they never see grace, then they can't mirror grace. I think that plays a big part of that. But how can you invite God's grace into your parenting on a daily basis?
I guess I would say, which I know that we have done sometimes, it's in discipline sometimes. I think there are times when maybe a punishment or something could be a lot harder, but you dismiss it. You know, you show them and you tell them, you know, like, this is what should happen. But, you know, I'm showing you grace this time because you know, maybe they did something that they've done before and you've told them not to do it, but yet they've done it again. And you say, you know, do you remember when you did this last time and I told you this is what would happen? And maybe they remember what the punishment was going to be and they're expecting it. But then you show them grace and say, you know, okay, I'm going to give you one more time or something. I forget what it was with the story with what you did with Kaylin.
That's exactly where I was going at, because the more you talk,
yeah,
when we went down to the Ark that Sunday, I was coming back home. We stopped to get lunch at Bojangles.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's was next door, so we was going to order. I think we ordered a milkshake and some ice cream cone, but Kaylin would not share her tablet, I believe it was. So we had a conversation with that. And then she finally did, but there was a lot of attitude, preteen, involved with it. And so I said, no. I said, that does not count. I said, because you had a lot of attitude. I said, just important of you being obedient is how you're obedient.
Right.
Like, just because you did what I asked, it was the attitude behind how you did it that was not okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do as dad? I took that as a teaching opportunity. And I said, we're going to go next door to get ice cream. Kaylin, you're not getting any. And the whole time, just for everybody out there saying, that's just horrible, I knew I was getting her ice cream too. But it was funny, even during that conversation and that whole interaction, that Trinity began to say, I want my sister to have ice cream too.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I did not expect that. That amazed me.
Yeah.
And so once we got Bojangles, we went to next door to McDonald's, got ice cream, got it all. Kaylin, of course, crying and was upset, saying that she's sorry. I can't stand for my kids to say they're sorry, because I feel like that's labeling themselves and giving them an identity of, I'm sorry. That's something I'm trying to figure out how to teach appropriately. But we all got our ice cream. I handed everybody out except for Kaylin's. And then I handed her the ice cream and explained to her, this is grace. I said, because based on how you treated your sister and the attitude that you had, you did nothing to deserve this. But because we love you,
mm-hmm.
you get it anyhow.
And the look in her eyes, though.
Yes.
It's like, she got it. You know, it's like, oh, I get what this is now.
Yep.
And even she even thanked us for it.
Yeah.
And the whole rest of the way home, and all, I'm pretty sure the rest of that day, she was so good to her sister.
Her attitude was much different. So just some practical takeaways from this episode. As a dad, as a parent, learn how to apologize quickly and show kids humility in action. Be vulnerable with your kids. Be vulnerable with your spouse. I think that's how trust is built, is learning how to, maybe this will hurt if I let you in this space, but I need to let you in this space. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Use failure as a teaching tool. Failure is a part of life. We all fail. What are you going to do with the failure? Are you going to let it identify who you are? Or are you going to dust yourself off, get back up, and let's keep moving forward?
It's what you do after.
It's what you do after. Exactly right.
That matters.
Frame mistakes as an opportunity for growth. You know, lean on grace. Remind yourself and your kids that perfection is not the goal, connection and growth are. Never try to teach your kids that they have to be perfect. And I feel like in my previous season that maybe I portrayed that they need to be perfect. I think Kaylin struggles with that more than anything.
You know,
the perfection part.
One thing that I had heard before is, you know, we wake up some days and we're just having a bad day. You know, maybe our fuse is a little shorter. Maybe we're just annoyed for some reason. We didn't sleep good. But we wake up and we expect our kids never to have one.
That's true.
So it's like, remember when you're parenting, you know, maybe their attitude, and I think I've said this before, you know, a lot of times we're the ones who label our kids.
Yeah.
We put labels on them as the disrespectful, or they are being sarcastic, or they're, you know, back talking. Well, a lot of times kids, I mean, especially 6, 7 years old, they don't know what that is.
No.
And so a lot of times my oldest, or our oldest, is very literal, you know. So she may ask a question and it comes off as
attitude or being smart.
Yes, but she's
being innocent.
Yeah. And so we put that label on them sometimes, and then we expect them, you know, we react because that's how we treat other people sometimes.
True.
But yet kids have to learn that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but we expect them to get up every day and be in a good mood, so that way we don't have to parent or do our job to teach them, because maybe our fuse is shorter or we're annoyed or something from where they have met their word quota for the day, I'm sure.
Yes.
But, you know, just have some grace. Just grace is like the biggest thing with kids, is there's so much put on them at such an early age.
Yeah.
That kids are no longer kids.
That's true. So, again, perfection's not the goal. Connection and growth are. Stay consistent. That's another one. Failure is not final unless you quit. You know, there's times that I have failed, I have fallen, and the only time that would have become final was if I had quit and refused to get back up again and sit and just wallowed in whatever, my pity or whatever else. So get back up, shake it off, apologize, be vulnerable, show the humility part. Your failures don't define you. Learn how to father through the failure. Failures don't define you. Grace does. Anything else you want to add? You good?
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, I always enjoy these conversations. I enjoy having conversations with these podcasts, but I enjoy talking to you more than anybody else. Just so you know. Don't let that go to your head.
Well, I'm just so happy for you because you have to live with me. So I would hope that
anyhow
you would enjoy hearing me talk.
I will close in prayer before it gets really deep again. So I'll pray over the men, the fathers, and again, if you're a mom listening to this or whatever, this, you can take stuff that we've talked about and apply it just as much. But Father, we thank you that your grace does cover our weakness. Teach us how to father through failure. Teach us how to show our children your love even in our mistakes. How to show them your love and your grace, your mercy, your goodness. And help us to rise again and point them back to you. Above all else, help them see you in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.